I've got a long ride back to the house. I just drove an engineer from the airport to another city, mechanical engineer, and we talked about some of the math and science and how the industries are and all that stuff, because I was in a double E electrical engineer and I was an estimator for a long time. And so I was talking about how much it was too stressful for me. I didn't like the pressure, you know. I'd rather just work with my hands and not have any responsibility of, you know, $1 million jobs. That's too much responsibility for me. But anyway, and you know, people getting hurt when you design a system or you're pricing a system, and you know, it's just a lot of code stuff. Even though I decode the words, the language, I don't like the code and the industries, you know, plumbing, electrical. The code is just, it's overkill most of the time, is what it looks like to me. But anyway, long story short, the guy was from Panama, and he said he lived here for 4 years, but it's amazing how no matter where you go in the world, people still are the same. They're still the same. They're all the same. Everybody has the same concerns, same goals and dreams and thoughts and ideas. It's all the same. So you can imagine those people in China right now worried about a disease, and they're under a socialistic, communistic leader, you know. Do they really? Here's what they're probably thinking. Do our leaders really care for us, you know? They probably feel like they're trapped, you know. We all have boundaries. We all have physical boundaries, mental boundaries, spiritual boundaries. We all have certain gifts. We have a boundary. Everything that we try to do, there's boundaries, you know. As you get older, there's more boundaries. National boundaries, you know, financial boundaries. Even though God's creation is unlimited, you can only do so much before you just crash and burn. You know, you could try to work 60 hours a week, but eventually it's going to get you. Your body ship has boundaries. Your car ship. I mean, somebody in the news, a guy was on the airplane, one of the basketball players, he died. Yeah, helicopter, he died today. So gravity, boundaries of nations, boundaries of gravity, boundaries of the tied to the earth, boundaries, spiritual boundaries, boundaries in knowledge and reach, and you know, you're trying to reach as many souls for the gospel as you can, but you're bound by certain limitations and time and messages and all that. I've actually did a series one time about proving faith alone in so many ways, it's not even funny. Even the gifts of the Spirit, it's all by faith. The crowns are by faith. Everything's faith alone. Everything's by faith, walking by faith. You got people who are rich that have boundaries. I mean, look at your richest men in the world right now. They are physically bound by, they've got all the money in the world, but physically they're dying, you know. You have limited time, boundaries, limited time boundaries, you know. And so when I'm talking to people, I take all the data points that I've studied my whole life, and I look at everything, try to look at everything from the parts and the whole and the parts. So I look at the parts, I look at the whole, and I look back at the parts. And so then I can talk about the word boundary, or I can talk about the word faith, you know. But it all ties together in a bigger puzzle. And so the bigger puzzle is that it's all about Christ, from Him, through Him, and to Him. It's He holds it all together. And I know it's hard to see, but He holds the nuts and bolts together on your wheels. He holds the shoelaces on your shoe. He holds it all together. He can speak one word. He could speak one word and destroy this whole universe. But that's not what He is. God is a God of renovation. God is a God of growth. God is a God of renewal. God is a God of building up, edification. God is not a God to tear down. Man already does that on his own. You're born in sin. You start to tear down. You need the power of God to build up. So when you're talking to people, whether it's a marriage, you know, a lot of times husband and wife get in that groove where they're bad mouthing each other. They actually need each other, and they probably love each other, but they still bad mouth each other. Why? It's part of the process of being human. It's like something has to click. That another human being's not your enemy, even though they're attacking you, even though the goats are attacking you, they don't even know what they're doing. They're running on an AI program. That AI program is real. And what the AI program is, it's in all of us, the old Adam. The old Adam is the AI, whether it's fear, doubt, worry, sarcasm, bitterness, unforgiveness. That's the old Adam. That's not who you are. Tonight, I'll give you an example. Tonight, so before I turned the app on, I said, okay, my stock went way down, so I need to work and get ready and get prepared. Because if I need to bring that stock back up to even. Because if I need to sell that stock in case something breaks, I need to be able to sell it at a break even or a profit, you know. So tonight, before I was driving, I said, you know, before I even got up to drive, I had something in me. It was like an old Adam thought, like, I probably won't make but 20 bucks or something like that. And so I knew that thought was not from God, right? I knew that thought was the old bloodline pattern, the negativity from the old bloodline, right? So I took that thought and I brought it into captivity. And so I took that thought and I said, you know what? God's in control. I'm not going to try to force it. I'm going to trust God. So I ended up doing pretty good in a couple hours, you know, about 3 hours, 70 bucks, 3 hours, what's that? 21, maybe with the tip, 20 something an hour, 21 and let's see, 7, 20, 40, 60. 2, 4, 6, 8, 22 an hour or something like that. And so I took that thought, and you can do this with any thought. Okay, so a thought, here's the deal. So a thought will hit you. Any kind of thought that's from the old Adam, whether it's prejudice, whether it's anger, whether it's judging, whether it's fear, doubt, worry, guilt, shame, condemnation, whatever that fear dart in the thought that actually paralyzes you, right? So if you, a lot of people have agoraphobia, you know, or they have a fear of something. And so it paralyzes them. It paralyzes them. Because they live in that fear, they don't want to leave the house or leave. They don't want to go outside or something. Or they might have a thought of being insecure or whatever. Those darts, those thoughts are darts from the old Adamic nature. Now, they could be thoughts from a narcissist Jezebel trying to pinpoint your weakness, you know. But you take those thoughts that hit you and you bring them into captivity of the truth. God is a provider. God made this universe for you. God wants to build you. He doesn't want to tear you down. He wants to build you up. If you're His elect, He's trying to build you up. He might have to cut you in the other areas. He might have to cut areas out of your life Some people live in fear that their spouse is going to die, or they're going to be alone, or they're going to be... there's all kinds of fear darts and thoughts that hit people. They're not smart enough. They're not good looking enough. Or they're not tall enough. Or they're too tall. I mean, these things are just ridiculous. It's unlimited, the thoughts that could hit a person. It's unlimited. And so you could talk about 1,000 of them, and there's 1,000 more. My nose is too big. You know, stuff, silly stuff like that. My hair's out of place. I didn't brush my teeth. My breath stinks. Whatever it is, my clothes aren't good enough. I remember in college, I had a roommate. He went to the bank. He came back. He said, we were like 3 or 4 of us sitting there talking. He came back. He said, you know what? Because my bank account's low, they looked at me funny. He was a student. They wasn't looking at him funny. It was his own. He was thinking that they were. They knew he was a student. They didn't care. They didn't care about his banking account. My bank account was low too. Every time I went to the bank, they didn't look. It was like a thought that he created in his own mind, you know. And so that's what's happened. The battle's in the mind. The battle's in the thoughts. And that video uploaded about Jim, the NASA scientist that is dying, Jim. I don't know if it's real or not, but a lot of stuff he's saying in there is true. It's true that the aliens are not from outer space. They're interdimensional, and they get in your thoughts. The demons get in your thoughts, and a lot of thoughts are your own bloodline thoughts or your culture thoughts or some narcissist Jezebel projected a thought into you, and you need to bring every thought into captivity. That's what's going on. And so when you start to pay attention to your inner man and pay attention to your heart and your thoughts, judge yourself lest you be judged, and you can catch yourself if you're walking in truth, if you're walking in agape or whatever you're walking in, you can actually catch it. And so what happens is, this is real. I'm getting ready to tell you something, how to beat these narcissists, Jezebel. So whatever you're dealing with in life, a narcissist Jezebel is trying to find something to pinpoint on you, right? And so the devil is a spiritual being, and he's like a watcher, right? So he's watching you through some kind of remote viewing projection or something. And so he's watching you. And so a lot of times he's trying to get you under guilt, shame, condemnation. Instead of under the grace of God, he wants you under law, right? Because the law is flesh. Because he only knows flesh. He's under those that are under the flesh are under law, and they're under a curse. So the devil's under the curse of the law. And so he's going to try to project that onto you, because they're under so much pressure to perform some kind of moral code that they create that they can't keep it, so they want to project it onto somebody else, their guilt that they're not keeping up with their little moral code, you know. Long story short, what I'm saying is this. So these narcissist Jezebels are going to pinpoint areas in your life to make you insecure. They might even say something about your shoes. Your shoes look terrible today, or something like that. Or I actually saw one. I saw a manager do this one time. I think my hair was out of place. I went outside and worked, had a hood on, and I don't care what it looked like. And said something about my hair. But didn't say it, just kind of took his hand on and pointed his hand where. And it's like, man, what are you, high school? They don't care. Doesn't matter. He don't care if he's high school or not. If he's even if they're 30, 40, 50, they don't care. They're high schools. The narcissist Jezebel will be a high school kid as long as they can find anything to harass you or to torment you over something silly that don't even matter. Because the devil is using them to try to mess with you. And if they can't find something, they're going to make up something. really. These people are crazy. Because the devil took them captive. But they're not your enemy. The devil's your enemy.